Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Longshore and Miles Williams as we kick off The Intersection. We are here on the corner of sports and everything else on a day of a light of excitement. And shout out to Big Orin back there with the TLN shirt. He didn't even know he was folding us right into our show. Great
job. He knew.
Great.
He knew.
Excellent job, Orin. Excellent job.
A loyal Intersection listener right there.
Loyal. Very, very. You know, he did me a favor the other night, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
So I came in here, and he had his Great Fives on, because he bought the Great Fives, mm-hmm. and I bought the Great Fives.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious, because I was wondering if my Great Fives looked like Orin's Great Fives. So I was like, hey, Orin, can you do me a favor and humor me for a second and just, you know, lift your foot? Because I wanted to see what it said on the bottom of his foot. And his said Nike, which is great. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it's supposed to be a retro version of the original Great Fives mm-hmm. that had the Nike Air on the back tab and the mm-hmm. Nike on the bottom. Now, ask me what my soul says, Jason.
Do I want to know?
You probably don't.
Is
but
Nike going up on the dartboard?
No, not today.
Okay, I'll
spare them.
What did yours say?
Mine says Jordan. Yeah, because they gave me the same sole from the shoes that I have from 2016. Yeah, mine says Jordan. But it's supposed to say Nike. And that's what happens when you buy grade school shoes, ladies and gentlemen. They want all the money, and they give you none of the detail. That is the story of my life. And now y'all see why I'm out here chasing red tags. But anyway, we digress. We're going to leave that corner of sports and everything
else. We might come back
to
it.
We probably will.
Yeah, it'll probably happen.
Because Nike did something else to me that was like,
But anyway. They can't get it right.
They, when they get it right, they get dollars. And when they don't, they get darts. That's the game we play around
here.
Fair enough. Shout out to Nike. Y'all get as many dollars as you do darts around here.
That's true.
It's pretty even. But Jason, I kind of wanted to get into where soccer is right now. We'll get into Atlanta United, but like, you know, I was scrolling around good old Google when I saw that there was an MLS All-Star game and there was no Messi.
Yeah.
Because the headline was, basically it was no Messi, no Mas, basically.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, let's talk about that, Jason.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. I mean, the funny thing about soccer is we could sit here and we could go into so many different crazy stories about soccer right now. Worldwide. I mean, it's chaos. You got the Women's European Championships going on,
ooh,
which are really good. England, Spain in the final on Sunday. Spain, best team in the world. England has had every four-leaf clover they can find. They've gotten to the final. They got a lucky penalty against Italy, but they converted on the penalty after it was saved, put home the rebound. They've won a shootout. They're there. Spain, best team in the world. They're the defending World Cup champions. I think they win on Sunday. We'll see. You've got the Cameroon head coach who resigned. I've never heard of this. This is a new one for me. He resigned via email. Via email said, I haven't been paid in, I think, 6 weeks. Me and my staff, we haven't been paid. I'm out. I resign. Federation says, okay, cool. We'll move on. We'll find somebody else. Then he comes back, the coach, and says, I was hacked. I don't resign.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Wait.
This is a team trying to get to the World Cup next year.
Oh, wow.
No, I was hacked. I didn't resign.
Oh, so, wow. This is some KD Twitter level kind of espionage going
yes.
on. Like, did you send it?
Who hacked you to resign?
Exactly. Like, that's kind of wild.
It's nuts.
So did we have buyer's remorse? Like, did you not get the response you thought you were going to get from that ultimatum?
They didn't beg. They were just
exactly.
like, yeah, sure. Okay, cool.
Were you expecting like, oh, no, wait, please don't. Like, is that where it was supposed to go? And you wind up getting, okay, well, what you wind up getting was no response. They just picked up the phone and called the locksmith. And you're like, wait.
Well, no. I want to come back.
Right. Like, don't even bother. I'll keep the same key. Don't even bother.
It's a mess. Barcelona's always a mess. They got all kinds of problems. They had a promoter back out of an Asian tour, and then somebody else stepped in to pay for it. So I don't know. They might be going to play in Japan this weekend. Who knows? So all that's the backdrop to MLS having an all-star game this week. I like the format for the MLS All-Star Game. I like playing another league's All-Stars.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
That's cool. You play Mexico. You win 3-1 in this one, but all the storylines are about Lionel Messi and is he going to play, and he didn't. The communication is really bad. I think whether that's coming from Miami, whether that's coming from the league, however it got handled, it was bad. It shouldn't have been a question. You know, I think we see this in other All-Star games where players opt out. Players are tired, players are beat up, players don't want to do it, and they opt out. and, oops, I got a hamstring injury. Or they don't even come up with the fake excuse.
I'm about to say, with the Pro Bowl, people just be like, I'm good.
Yeah. And then that it just one, goes you down can the do list. It. And that's, I get that. Like this, they try to make it competitive and even put in a rule in. This is where MLS is in a little bit of a pickle at the moment. They put in a rule saying that if you're healthy and you don't play, you're suspended for the next regular season game.
Whoa, why? Whoa.
Yeah. So now you're in a spot where Messi is not injured, but you're not going to suspend him for the next game. They're playing the number one team in the Eastern Conference this weekend, Cincinnati. You're not going to suspend him for that.
You're
so
in a
how
spot
do you
where,
argue your way out of it?
Where Messi's bigger than the league. And now you got to figure out how to circumvent that without saying Messi's bigger than the league.
Yeah, and you're not. Like, there's no way. You should have, one, communicated better, and it shouldn't have been a question. It should have been handled Sunday or Monday after his last game. If he says, I don't want to play, and Miami says, we don't want him to play, oh, you know, he tweaked a hamstring late in the game, not feeling right, we'll assess it, and he's probably going to sit out.
It's that simple,
that's all
right?
You do. That's all you do. You know, He eats that weird pizza with all the olives on it, that weird Argentine pizza. Yeah, you know, an olive was off a little bit. Maybe, you know, I mean, wasn't feeling right.
Jason, to this day, we're trying to figure out if a flu game was really the flu game, right?
Now that's become a conspiracy.
Exactly, but that's the point, right? Yeah. Because you can say whatever you need to say to make the optics look right. And
you
that's the only reason it's a conspiracy now, because now it's like, was it optics? Was the league? Was it gambling? Was it drinking? Was he sick? Was it... Or is it fatigue? Like, or like when a pop star gets sick and it's like exhaustion.
Yeah,
like
that
that causes immediate speculation, right? Yeah. But it's easier, in my opinion, to deal with up front than it is to now try to retroactively deal with this. Because you put the punishment out there. You put the headline out there. The situation with him playing or not was super unclear. He didn't play. So now it's like, why didn't he play? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one of the things that other leagues have avoided to try to make the game competitive.
Yeah.
Because I understand why they did that. It's to try to make sure it's as competitive as possible.
Yeah.
But that's why the NBA's been trying to bribe them with more money, right?
Like,
you know, hey, the winning team gets, you know, whatever this is, or a Kia, or whatever the situation is, because please come play and be competitive as a way to try to fix this situation. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if punishing the players is going to work. It's going to have to be more of an award situation than a punishment thing.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. I think, if anything, I like the format of the MLS All-Stars better than anything else. But I think what this shows you is, do we really need All-Star games? Like, it's a party. We talked about with WNBA over the weekend. You know, like, it's a party. It's a celebration for the league. The leagues use it as a way to bring everybody together, have meetings, have board of governors meetings, ownership meetings, like all kinds of stuff. You bring your sponsors in. You get an event for them.
Photo ops and volunteering.
You do all that, and it's great. But can we do that in a different way? Can we find another way to do it? Because nobody wants to play an extra game. Mm-hmm. Messi, since he played for Argentina in early June, he's played 90 minutes of every game Miami's played.
Mm-hmm.
He's delivered on the field. He's been great. He's 38 years old. Man needs a Wednesday off.
Mm-hmm.
Let him have his Wednesday off instead of threatening punishment because he's not going to go play in a game that doesn't mean anything.
And it's great that you brought that up, because it's similar to what I want to say it was Breonna Stewart. They were saying, you know, if you want the game to be more competitive, we need more time off in between games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we just finish games on Wednesday and on Tuesday or Wednesday. We get on the plane, get here Thursday. We do all of this all weekend, and then we're back to playing Monday or Tuesday.
MLS, for no good reason, has a bunch of games tomorrow night.
Exactly.
They don't play on Friday nights.
And that's exactly their point. So it's like, there are ways, like, it's almost like they're saying, we don't disagree with you. We maybe want to be more competitive, but the timeline isn't really conducive to be more competitive. But also, I think it kind of proves that the stuff around the game has become bigger than the game.
It's bigger than the game.
Yeah, I think
we're just used to
the all-star game format rather than just having 2 days of skill competitions. Or maybe we keep the game and it's just youth players.
No, I do legends. I find a way to create a format, and every sport's going to be different to do that. But I have a legends game. And for soccer, what I would do is do it in an arena. You don't need a stadium. Do it inside an arena. Have a five-a-side, like, indoor soccer legends game. Legends of the league, East versus West, whatever. And do that along with the skills competitions. Have your celebration. Do all kinds of fun media stuff and cool activations.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a good time. And it goes back to play on the weekend.
And I think MLB did something similar to that. Of course, they had the actual All-Star game, but they had it like a Legends game, basically. Yep. I want to say, what was it, that Friday or Saturday before the All-Star, actual All-Star game. So it can be done. You can, old guys, new guys, but current players, maybe not so much.
I don't need them to play.
All-Star game. I do think the skills competitions have become more fun and more of an event than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, Home Run Derby is as big as the MLB All-Star Game. I mean, to your average fan who's not living and dying with it.
I was very much hurt. Jason, I thought I was going to the MLB Home Run Derby. I thought I was going. I went online to get my ticket. I was like, it's going to be an amazing weekend. We'll do all that and then go see Beyonce on Monday. And I was like, what do you mean that this is the same exact time?
You ended up having a pretty good Monday.
Oh, no, I had an amazing Monday.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
Don't complain too much.
I'm not crying too hard, but I thought I was going to be able to get both of those things in there. Like, I've always wanted to go to a Home Run Derby, so I had already penciled myself into that one. It wasn't until I got the reality of the date and the time that I was like, oh, womp, womp. But, you know.
Was the concert worth it?
Oh, 100%. Okay, but since you brought that up, now I can get to the other thing that I threw the dart at Nike.
Whoa, okay. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, so, okay. So, all summer, I have been waiting for Nike to release their Cowboy Country Rodeo belts. It's like a line of four or five belts.
Okay.
And it's very Nike. It's very Urban Cowboy, which was like my theme for the show. And I went with this.
Yeah.
So I was like, great, I'm going to get this belt. And if you look at my Nike app, you will see how many times I've typed in belt in the app to look for this belt.
Mm.
And they just kind of confirmed earlier this week that they are about to release the belt after rodeo season and the Cowboy Carter Tour. What are we doing? What are we doing, people?
What?
We're missing the moment.
Yes. You're going to have to sit down with somebody at Nike.
Somebody. Like, we got to get on trend. We got to move faster. Like, what? You announced this in, like, April, May. I've been looking for this for weeks. It's been so long, I thought I made it up, Jason. I didn't see it anywhere anymore.
Thought it was a fever dream.
I couldn't find it on the site. Like, I couldn't find sites that were still talking about it or Twitter pages. So I was like, did I just make this up?
I lost my mind.
I was like, okay, maybe it was me. Okay, maybe I was like, did they sell out and I missed it? And then all of a sudden it popped up, Nike's going to release these. And they're so, like, they're frustrating. Very frustrating on my part. It would have set me off just right. But you know what? It's okay. And I'm still going to buy the belt. So all of this is for nothing. But the point is that you truly miss the moment.
You could have sold more belts.
And that was an unofficial dart right there.
That's an unofficial. Look, it happens sometimes. Let's stay on trend. Let's talk about what's going on with the Dream. You got a good win last night against Phoenix. BG, huge night back in Phoenix.
Huge
really cool
night
for her. This team, you know, look, they're not the same without Ryan Howard. We know that. They're
Regal
treading
Ryan
water right now. Is that fair?
I think so. First game off of the All-Star game is kind of hard to judge, but it did feel like, you know, they were just kind of missing that other engine. Like, you had your 1B, and right now they are going to go as Alisha Gray is going to go. And Alisha Gray is going to do her thing. Like, it was two 20-point nights, 25 the other night. I think her and her best friend Asia Wilson scored, like, the same amount of points. So, you know, South Carolina was doing their thing up in Vegas the other night. But you were missing those shots and that not only that Ryan can take, but the shots that Ryan creates just by all the attention she causes.
Yeah, 100%. So, that's such a key factor.
Exactly. So they did what they can do. I think, you know, some more Tahina Pow-Pow could maybe help in their diet with the shots and the shot selection. She can get them up really fast.
Is it more minutes for her or certain kinds of minutes, or do you need better performances from her when she gets the minutes?
I think it's certain kind of minutes.
Okay.
I think it is depending on how the game is flowing, depending on Carl Semisco.
Yeah.
You may see more of her. You may see more Shatori Walker-Kimber, who had a great game last night.
Yeah, she was great last night.
Or you may see more of Maya Caldwell, who's been getting who's in the starting lineup now that Ryan Howard is out. So it's kind of between those three. But to me, that's your easiest score. Like, that's your truest bucket on the bench.
Yep.
So if you can figure out a way to get her in, you know, run her off some more screens, run some more action to get her open so she can take that shot, maybe have her and Alisha on the floor together a little bit so you have more shooting on the floor, maybe you can get past some of these growing pains a bit. But I do think they figured out something last night that they were maybe kind of missing in Vegas. So maybe they can take last night and build on that and move forward as we head into the next game, which I think is They're still on the road. Where I think are they
Sunday.
Headed? Sunday.
They're where back they in, back on Sunday. Minnesota.
Minnesota, okay. I know they play Tuesday against the Valkyrie over at Gateway Center.
It's this tricky thing. I mean, I think we have to remember, too, with Semesco in his first year with this group, his first year at this level. Mm-hmm. It's you're in that spot where you get bits of this in college, but you're missing your number one, number two player. You got to figure out a way to replace that. You don't have another number one, number two player. Mm-hmm. You've got players who are not quite at that same level that Ryan Howard's at. So how can you find a way, take some of the pressure off Alicia Gray, find a way to replace some of the scoring, replace some of the presence? It's really hard. And it's a good thing it's happening now if you can take advantage, because then it's something that Ronnie Dyla said a couple times this year when he's had to go to the bench or go to one of the young players. Mm-hmm. And he said it in a very Norwegian way. You know, I got another player out of this.
Yes,
so
yes.
So you find somebody else that you can trust.
Yep.
That feels like what has to happen here for the Dream. Find somebody now that, oh, wait a minute, they're not just at the end of the bench. I can trust them in big moments.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of already happened with somebody like Anaz Hillman. She was kind of stuck on the bench in the early part of the season because you had Bijia, you had Jones, and you were kind of set there. But then you saw what she could really bring when you subbed her in, that energy. Like y'all hear me say all the time, Nas wastes not 1 minute when she hits that floor. It may not show up on the stat sheet, but it shows up on the floor, and it shows up in her players on the floor and how players react on the bench. So if you can find more Nas Hillmans, and you do have them on this roster, I believe, then it's only going to bowl better for the team. And to me, that's a positive for this team.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, yeah, you can roll or whatever, but if you can find another player or two to depend on when we get into this playoff run. Yeah.
Now's the time to find that additional player.
Exactly. And also, we're kind of going to see the difference between how we handled last year with Ryan Howard's absence and this year what Carl Semesco is going to do in Ryan Howard's absence with these new additions that we have with the bench. So I think it's going to ultimately wind up being very positive. They're still second in the East. They're not, you know, treading too much water. So if you can kind of maintain where you are, even, you know, with a Ryan Howard out for a little second, to me, it's going to bode well in the end, in the finish.
Yeah, yeah. This is the time to get better for that stretch run. And if you can hold second in the East and stay competitive, best way to do it.
What they call it, battle-tested?
Yeah.
This is when you become battle-tested. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are still on the corner of sports and everything else. But when we get back, we will be on the corner of Flowery Branch and Falcons training camp, people, because it is finally that time. What did Kyle Pitts do? How is the defense looking? How excited is Coach Morris? Find out next on The Intersection on 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Atlanta, to where the party is at. It seems like the party was up at Flowery Branch today as camp kicked off. Yes, football season is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. And I know a lot of y'all were out there in the sun and the heat and the sweat and hopefully your best aluminum deodorant, as Joe Patrick put it on 929 The Game's Twitter today. Excitement.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's like the first day of school kind of feeling. Like, you know, I mean, what are you going to see? Nothing that's going to shock you, really. I mean, people are going to try to make every little thing in the session be bigger than it is. And I get it. It's excitement. But I think with this Falcons team specifically, it's maybe a different level of excitement than it's been lately because of the moves they made in the offseason, because of, I think, what this offense can be. And yeah, what Michael Penix can be in his first year as the starter. I do have a question, though.
Okay.
I wonder if there were any Roy Rogers sent down to a certain quarterback who might be the number two from New York or New Jersey, maybe to be a little more specific. Maybe a few of those being sent down, maybe?
Well, you know, that particular quarterback is a stand-up professional, so I'm sure he's not drinking any of those super sugary non-alcoholic drinks right now, now the camp has started. But 2 weeks ago, there were probably plenty of Roy Rogers being had while watching himself on Netflix.
I'm sure that, but maybe some great Clips gift cards. Maybe, because there's a certain team up north that might need a quarterback now. Ah. And things could get really interesting.
Well, you know, I did see a couple of our listener slash podcast holders. I did see a couple titles pop up on YouTube before I got here today. And one of them might have been, you know, if maybe a trade could be on the table.
I mean, it makes sense, you know, when you have a team in a non-contact injury, which you hate to see, especially at this stage of the season, lose a quarterback. We've said it, I think, every episode we've talked about the Falcons. You got to have quarterback right.
Yep.
They don't have a second quarterback with the Jets. Well, there's one sitting here who has been a starter in this league, and he, I would assume, is very available.
Yeah.
So can the Jets offer enough to make it make sense? It could be an interesting discussion.
I mean, in my opinion, that's on the Jets. Do you want to offer enough to solve that problem? Because that's a big – but this is the moment we've been waiting on, right? Like, we all kind of figured at some point there will be some type of unfortunate injury that happens that's going to have a team looking around for a serviceable to above serviceable quarterback. Well, there happened to be one right here that loves a good Roy Rogers. And that loves a good haircut he can get in any city that he can book within 15 minutes. So if you can find him a Roy Rogers bar and a local Great Clips, you might have him.
You probably can make that deal happen.
You might have him.
I think you could.
So, you know, how long will he be holding that clipboard as QB number two at this camp? We shall see. I guess we are officially on watch.
I think you have to be. I mean, it gets interesting now with that job opening up. And hopefully it's not, you know, the worst case scenario when you're talking about Justin Fields and what could happen with him at the Jets. But we'll just have to wait and see. It changes maybe some of the external conversation about these Falcons, because that will be a story. I think it will be a story that'll blow up a little bit as we go. But right now it's about, I think, just total excitement about seeing this team back on the field in Flowery Branch.
Exactly. Like, I feel bad for Jets fans that their excitement has been tampered
so that balloon
so quickly,
popped real fast.
But ours is still going, because when Andy and Randy caught up with Coach Morris today, he seemed super excited about the start of the season.
He's really started it already. You know, it's just the leadership and the ownership of the offense and getting these guys out there and getting together. And his voice becoming bigger, right? His voice is becoming bigger every time he steps in that huddle. His voice gets bigger every time he makes a correction to a wide out, a running back, the O-line, a protection, whatever it is. Every time he talks to Zach, every time he talks to me, every time he communicates situational ball, like we're able to display there at the end of practice in the Mamba period. You know, you just love the fact of watching him grow and develop. And still, every single time, you're so impressed with the poise of the young man. That's just outstanding.
Penix is ready to go, according to Coach.
Yeah.
And he sounds super excited about it.
Yeah, when you get somebody who that role changes, and, you know, Penix feels it. He's the guy now. And he probably was not sleeping very well last night, because he knew this is a big day. Fans are going to be out there. And he's jacked up. And you have to carry yourself different. You have to act different when you go from being the number two to the number one. He comes into this camp for the first time in his pro career, year two, as the man. And you got to project that you're the man. And to hear things like, you know, carrying the voice, carrying himself different, like those kinds of things. I like to hear that. It sounds like nothing. I think it's bigger than you think that he is comfortable in his own skin being that guy. Now, you know, we talked about it a lot. I think somebody who's going to help him be that guy is Bijan Robinson. He's such a critical part of this team, and those relationships are so big. I like, and I want to hear from Bijan in the next clip, I like that he put in some time in the offseason to get better and went to talk to somebody who's kind of a template for what he wants to be, right?
Exactly. I mean, we need that guy to kind of take a little bit of that weight off of Penix, you know, make things a little easier. You can dump it off to him on the screen. You can just hand it to him, whatever it is. Like, Bijan's going to shake and bake and make it happen. And it seems that he spent some time with another running back to help him learn how to do that even better, even more efficiently.
For me to give him my all, like, I have to be at the top shape. So, I mean, we were working really hard on the field this summer, but, like, after the amount of recovery that we did was a lot, and I'm gonna continue doing that because I mean I felt like super great this summer, and it was all because like of how we came back and recovered our body. So like after every camp practice and lift, like I'm gonna make sure I do the same thing so I can give it my all every practice.
That's such a big part of it, is learning how to take care of yourself in these moments. And, you know, for Bijan Robinson to go out on his own and work with somebody like Christian McCaffrey, who you talk about, who you would like to see Bijan continue to a trajectory you want to see him follow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. McCaffrey's a pretty good pickup to be following what he's done to take care of himself and to be who he is in this league.
And you want him to learn that now, going into year like 3 and 4, right? Like you don't want to wait until he becomes that older running back and then he figures out, oh, I have to figure out or learn how to recover my body after these games and after these practices. It's best to learn that now before your body gets to that point. But also, I thought it was comical. I saw the picture of them after training, and Bijan looked like he wore CMC out. CMC looked tired after that workout. Hey, Bijan's like, he could go another hour.
He's got a few years on him. He's still a young buck. You know, he'll be all right. But Bijan's a freak as an athlete. Man. Just an absolute freak as an athlete. And if he can start to add these little things from experience, from knowledge, from mentors out there, then he becomes potentially the best weapon in the NFL. Like, he could be that this year. If he gets on that same page with Penix and he takes care of himself that way. I want to hear another clip. I didn't get to hear it earlier today when Adam Schefter was on Dukes and Bell. We've talked about our excitement for this team a lot. The local level of excitement is, I think, through the roof. I don't remember another year like this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What's the national vibe about where this Falcons team is? Let's hear from Schefter on Dukes and Bell earlier today.
The Falcons?
Yeah.
I mean, they should be challenging for the NFC South title right now. Mm. And so, to me, there's no reason they couldn't get that done. But, you know, the Bucs have won, what, 4 straight NFC South titles.
Right.
And so, I think you have to make them the favorite, but there's no reason the Falcons shouldn't be competing. The Falcons should have won the division last year and didn't do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right. So they're going to feel like they're better with the pass rushers they drafted, and if that's the case, then they'll give Tampa a run for their money.
I mean, and that's what we all feel here, right? Like, that's where the excitement is coming from. We should have had it last year, should have, could have, would have. We feel like we're in better position to make that happen now with the quarterback changes and all the weapons he has, all the defensive weapons we brought in here that Coach had a chance to talk to Andy and Randy about earlier today. Like, everybody's super excited. We're excited. Coach is excited. The players are excited. Like, Caden Ellis was talking about how much he believes in Jeff Obrich's scheme, how excited he is to play in the scheme. How much he thinks Jalen Walker is just going to jump off the page when we get on the field.
That's my dude.
Man, everybody is super excited for this season. The players, us, the franchise themselves, the coaches, even the national media. So do you think we can live up to it? We were so close to that mountaintop last year, and then we kind of just fell off a cliff and crashed and burned like Thelma and Louise. But Thelma and Louise made it a choice. We didn't have a choice. We just went off a cliff. Can we avoid the cliff this year, Jason? That's the question.
I think so. But let me ask you this. Let me turn it back to you. So Adam Schefter said there's no reason why they can't do this. If they don't, if the Bucs end up beating the Falcons out in the NFC South, what is that reason why they don't catch Tampa, in your opinion? What is the thing that worries you the most about this group?
Youth.
Fair.
That's the one thing that Tampa has over this team. They have a quarterback that has, you know, had his lumps,
he's
his growing pains.
He's been there and he's done that. Yep.
You know, he's been battle tested. And this team, I hate to say it, they bought confidence off of Tom Brady. They bought it.
Mm-hmm.
It came with the check of going to get Tom Brady and going to get Gronkowski and bringing them in here and earning a championship that they were never in danger of winning. That's just the reality. Because that happened and a lot of those players are still there and that residual feeling is still there, they have a lot of confidence about being the top of this division, how good or bad it is. They have a lot of confidence and they have a lot of veteran leadership. Those are the two things that we're still gaining on this side of it. But I still think we should be able to go out there and take that division.
I'll take the counterpoint on it with that. Sometimes when you have the right kind of youth, and I think you do in the personalities here. You know, look, I don't know Penix and Bijan and Drake and these guys, but they feel like they're young guys who have varying levels of experience, a lot of internal confidence. And sometimes when you have a group of young guys like that, like a gang together, they sometimes don't know that they should be feeling that pressure.
Sometimes.
And that is a good thing.
That is.
That helps you. It's almost being naive in some ways is good because you're just playing. You're not worried about what that feels like. I've seen it with Atlanta United this season. That's a team with a lot of experience that came in and hasn't meshed. And when things got hard, they struggled under that weight. I don't know if this Falcons group does. I hope that they don't. I hope they are young and brash and not arrogant in a negative way, but arrogant in a, we can get through this. I'm not worried about it.
I agree with you. And I actually do think that they lean more on that side.
It seems like it from the outside.
Those are just the two things, if I had to pinpoint something, that I would say, okay, Tampa has an advantage. But even with that, I don't think it's so much of an advantage. Mm-mm.
I like being younger. I like having young guys that you can rally around, and it feels like they can feed off of one another. Drake makes a big play in the pass game. That's going to lift Penix up. Bijan makes a big run in the run game or makes a big play in the pass game. You've got lots of things that can continue to snowball a positive momentum. You got to take advantage of it, and you got to get the things that we've talked about. I guess what worries me the most is you're looking for Jalen or Pierce to be a huge impact as a rookie in the pass rush. And you've got to have a pass rush. That's been the issue for this team for a long, long time. You've got to get to the quarterback. You're asking one of them to be that veteran, but hopefully it's another young face in it who doesn't know what they don't know, and they just play. Sometimes that's the way.
And then you got, you know, some guys that are coming back from injury that we haven't got to see a lot of that are also going to contribute, you know, to that pass rush and to that, you know,
I can't wait to see this team on the field.
Man,
I just can't wait to see this team on the field because I can't wait to see what their personality is like on the field.
Yep.
I want swagger. I want brashness. I want some cockiness. I want to see that out of this group.
Yep. In my opinion, you got the coaches for it.
Yep.
You know, Raheem and Jeff, they are all of those things in a positive way, right? In a way that you can harness and actually, you know, grow something out of it and, you know, maybe get some wins and some confidence. Like, they are those guys. You hear it when they speak. You hear it when they coach, whether it goes, you know, right or wrong. They always have that confidence and that swagger that I know what I'm doing. And we know what we're doing here on the corner of sports and everything else. And when we get back, we are going to take some time to throw some darts at some things that we don't like when we hit the bar next on 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Atlanta, to the corner of sports and everything else. And we must say sorry to Miss Jackson or whoever was so ready to send Kirk Cousins and his Roy Rogers up to the Jets as Justin Fields appears to be pretty much just fine with his toe.
We tried.
Dislocation. He'll be fine. He's day-to-day. So Kirk Cousins is still QB number two, but we are still on the lookout for that unfortunate injury that, you know, will unfortunately happen. It's just the law of odds. But we are here at the bar. We have our drinks, and we have darts in hand, and we are ready to start flinging. But before we do, for those who are not versed, who have not thrown darts yet, Jason, break it down for us.
Man, Greg wanted to throw darts like every segment after we introduced him to darts.
Greg fell in love with darts, man.
He got way too excited about darts.
I meant to introduce it to Day-Day last night, but we didn't have enough time on Prep Sports Show. But people seem to get into darts.
It's addictive. So what happens at the end of the show, we have last call at the bar. So we go check things out over there. And at this spot that we've started hanging out at, we found a dot matrix printer. Don't ask me, it happened. We got one of those metal carts from your elementary school. We got the dot matrix strapped down so it doesn't fall on anybody at the bar. We found some extra ribbons for it. And what we do to kind of spice up our dart game at the end of the night is we choose something to print out on the dot matrix. And we, see, it's still firing. It's still working. We then put that up on the dartboard and we throw darts at it. Or we go, somebody else can go up and rescue the picture and maybe put it in a frame and put it on the wall at the bar. Sometimes the pictures get rescued. Sometimes we all throw darts at it. Things can get out of hand in darts.
Indeed, indeed. And tonight we have a handful of darts and a handful of unfortunate contestants. Is that what you want to call them?
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, okay.
I mean, you've got something, I think, already bubbling up. So what do you have?
Okay, so last week, Charlotte kind of took the brunt of the darts.
Yes, they did.
And apparently the NFL Network liked that on our show because they gave me another reason to kind of include Charlotte in a dart scenario. Now, I'm not going to throw the dart at Charlotte. The logo we're printing out is the NFL Network logo.
Okay.
Because I saw their training camp schedule of where we're sending our pundits and our cameras.
Oh, boy.
For training camp for Saturday, July 26th. And I look in the corner, you know, where there's the Falcon, you know, helmet with the logo and the red. And, you know, Steve Walsh is coming, who always comes. Like, Steve's great. So that's not surprising. But then they're sending Steve Smith Jr. Now, mind you, Carolina also has a camp. And they're not getting Steve Smith Jr. So my I'm throwing the dart here because this is to stir up drama. This is definitely to try to get this I-85 thing going that only one side seems to be interested in. And so you brought Steve Smith here to, you know, stir up a little hoopla. But the fans will be on the hill, I believe, on that Saturday. So fans, you know what your job is. You know what your job is. You hear anything crazy, you know, don't be mean. You don't have to heckle or say anything crazy back to Steve. But, you know, let Steve know where he's at. You know, we have a very lovely chant that we like to yell everywhere we go. Whenever we're in a crowd, you will be in a crowd in an open area out there on the hill. You know, let that ATL fly. Let it fly. let them get that good hometown welcome on this side of 85. That's all I'm saying. Y'all hear Junior, y'all hear Steve Smith Sr. say something crazy. Just remind him where he is. That's all I'm saying.
So if NFL Network is going to do the same thing in reverse and send somebody up to Charlotte, which they wouldn't because they'd send that person to New Orleans if they wanted to play that game. But anyway, I digress. If they wanted to send somebody up to Charlotte to antagonize the equivalent of Steve Smith, who we sending?
Harry Douglas.
Oh, that'd be good. Because he would get into it, too.
Louisville, you brought up earlier. Yeah, we're going to send Harry Douglas.
Yeah, he would get into it, too. Yeah, exactly. That would actually be fun. Exactly. He could get into some trouble.
That's the perfect person to send.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, he knows how to play the game. Finest. You know, he already works there. You know, we don't have to bust him anywhere.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he's respectable. Yeah, we're going to send Harry Douglas.
Yeah, but he could cause some problems, too, for Carolina fans.
Yeah, it's called taking care of business. I send Harry Douglas to go take care of that. So, yeah, I'm throwing a dart at the NFL Network because why are y'all trying to get in the middle of this and start a pot? Stay out of that.
Yeah, I'm throwing darts. I'm in on that for sure. That's easy.
Like, they already got this delusional rivalry thing going on and reposting pictures and videos. And they are stuck on that last game of the season because that's all they got. Like, why stoke more to the fire?
But it goes back to something we've talked about where they wouldn't do it in reverse the other way.
They wouldn't.
They're doing anything possible. Everybody does nationally to antagonize Atlanta sports fans. Never going to go the other way with it. I'm not surprised. I'm throwing darts.
That just means we're great content. Yeah. You always want to poke this bear.
Yeah, I'm
then that
tired
means
of
this
it.
Bear has great content. Even though I do agree with you. I'm find very something irritated. Else to do. But
Miles, you throwing darts?
I'm throwing darts. As a Falcon fan, long time, all my life, 29 years, never liked Steve Smith. So yeah, I'm throwing darts.
Wow,
give you know what?
Give him that hometown cooking.
You said how many years?
29.
That means you've been a fan of the Falcons for about longer 25. Than the Panthers have existed. Okay, which is my point. So, leave it alone. Like, go play with Jacksonville or something. Find a different expansion team.
Now, you said it.
Leave me alone.
Give him that chant. ATL, yeah.
You need exactly. Say it loud, say it proud. Y'all know what to do. All right, who got the next dart?
Go, Miles. What you got?
All right, so, yeah, I just got to the bar with you guys. What's up? What's up, y'all? Just got to the bar, and I see the dot matrix is working, so I might as well go ahead and throw my dart. I need the dot matrix to print up a picture of LeBron James.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
LeBron.
What now?
I love Bron, but sometimes he just walks right into this stuff, y'all. So you would expect in his 23rd season of basketball, what, 24, 25 years of fame? Nothing could get to LeBron anymore. Thick skin, you would think. He's seen it all, right? I mean, he's never responded to Skip Bayless. So, you know, I would say he has thick skin. Look, I'm sure there's been worse things out there, LeBron, but I guess seeing a picture of yourself pregnant was the line in the sand for you.
What?
So LeBron is making cease and desist letters to this AI company. He's already gotten three people banned off Instagram from making the AI, and y'all can go look, you know, we all got phones, smartphones, photos of himself pregnant. LeBron, I don't know. Look, this is not going to make people stop. If anything.
This is the Streisand effect. Have you ever heard of the Streisand effect?
Mm-mm.
So that's when there's something that you don't want attention to, and you accidentally bring attention to it by trying to stop it.
Come on, bro.
This is the Streisand effect.
Like, now people are really, they know it has your attention. They know it's getting to you. You're putting out cease and desist letters. We're about to see more of this.
Yep.
Because I didn't know about it until I saw LeBron is putting out cease and desist letters for the AI picture that, you know, he's pregnant in.
And there's so many wild AI, especially NBA fans. I don't know what it is with NBA fans. There's so many wild AI photos of NBA players doing stuff that they would never be doing. Like, so to hear that somebody actually sending a cease and desist, maybe Bron feel like he falling on the sword for everybody. Like, I'm going to do it if ain't nobody else going to do it. I'm going to be the one to do it for everybody. Y'all need to stop. But it's not going to stop. This
you're
is going to get worse.
You're not winning that fight. You're wasting time.
It's going to get worse.
Can't win that fight. So, no, my darts is for Bron. Just come on. Don't walk into it, Bron.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be smarter than that. He should know better. Somebody should be telling him, man, I don't care how much that irritates you. Just let that go. It's going to be gone in a week.
Right.
Some stuff you got to ignore, man. Some stuff you just can't even. You were just in Puerto Rico having a bomb time with Bad Bunny. Focus on that.
Singing Not Like Us on the Boat.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Focus on that. Now you're having a good time.
Now some 14-year-old in his mom's basement
now
making an AI picture right now.
Exactly. Right now.
Of you.
Bro, this going to get him.
Yeah, mine's for Bron.
That's
fair. I'm going to have to also throw one on Bron.
Yeah, I'm going to have to throw
one. Because you single-handedly made this worse for yourself.
I feel a little bad about it, but not that bad. Because that's just let it go. Just let it go.
I didn't even know, like to Miles' point,
exactly.
I didn't even know it was out there.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even, okay.
It would have been gone in a week. Like, that whole little trend would have been gone in a week.
Google cease and desist and look what pops up.
Foolish LeBron. You got to know better than that. All right. I'm going to go a little off the board here, and I need two logos.
Okay.
I need a Cleveland Browns logo.
Ooh, I like this.
And I need a New York City Football Club logo. And they're both going up on the dartboard together because they're part of a very dumb trend.
Okay.
We're getting into trends here tonight. Of doing like a giant inflatable something and sending it down a river to get attention. It's
what?
The dumbest like promotional gimmick that I've ever seen. So I don't know if you saw the Browns unveiling their new helmet. It's a giant inflatable Cleveland Browns helmet on a raft.
Oh,
and they're gonna put it going down the river.
I know where this is going.
Now, the thing that they did that I think was staged because of the way the mascot reacted, photographer fell off the raft into the river.
Ooh.
But the mascot's reaction was too good.
Yeah,
I don't know, for it to be natural. I feel like it was fake. I might be wrong. New York City did this a couple weeks ago where they've now embraced their nickname. Like, that's one difference in the soccer world. A lot of teams don't have nicknames.
Right.
So NYCFC, a lot of people call them the Pigeons, which is kind of cool. Like,
okay.
I'm okay with that. Their second team's called the Squabs. Okay. I kind of like it. It's different. So they did a giant pigeon in New York City colors, and I think with a jersey on, and they put it in an inflatable, and they put it down the river. It's just dumb.
Why are we going down by the river?
Why are we spending so much money to make an inflatable giant something? Why are we thinking that's going to be the way to get attention? Can't we spend the money better and do something better? It's a stupid gimmick.
Is it because they're trying to go viral?
Yes.
Yeah.
They absolutely think that's going to make them go viral. And maybe it doesn't until a photographer falls off of a raft when it's not an accident and the mascot reacts to it.
Jason, now, I thought it was fake, too. Now, that guy's leg, I don't know if you looked at that right leg real hard.
Yeah.
He thought it was something there.
I think so, but then the mascot is the thing.
I haven't checked out the mascot.
The mascot,
I gotta go watch it again.
It's the perfect reaction.
Okay, I gotta watch it
again. The mascot's the part of it that grabbed my attention immediately. I'm like, oh, he reacted really fast to that. I don't know.
But that right leg, man, it was dangling, and it looked like he thought something was there. But I'm about to watch it now.
Yeah.
He said it was
a little premeditated.
I think maybe it was, but it's such a dumb thing.
Yeah,
like,
this is a bad viral trend. Can't we
do better things than making giant inflatables and putting them on rafts?
And my thing is, like, I feel like last college football season, we all got goalpost fatigue.
Yes.
With throwing the goalposts in the river.
Yes.
So it almost invokes that. Like, just find something else to do out of the river. Like,
yeah, get away from the river.
Get away from the river. That's not going to go viral.
No.
And if it does go viral, it's going to be for the wrong reasons. Yes. Like, it's either because we're all going to call it corny or make fun of you or turn it into a way that you didn't intend to or expect. Just find something else to do. Get a billboard or something.
I know how to end this. This is how we end this. Falcons, I need you to make an inflatable Saints helmet. We're not going to waste our time with Carolina. And take it out to Lake Lanier.
Ooh.
I'm with that.
I'm with that. That's how we end this gimmick.
Ooh. I kind of like that.
Giant inflatable Saints helmet and just let it go to Lake Lanier and see what happens.
Their new helmet. I think they got a new helmet, too, with the new jersey. So,
we can let Lake Lanier take care of it.
Well, on that note, everybody, we're going to let the Saints helmet, we're going to send that up to Lake Lanier while we close the bar. Let them put the bar stools on top of the tabletops.
Throw some darts at the inflatables.
Lock the door, please, so you can take them out. And then pull them out of the river so, you know, the fish and things don't get caught in them. You know, the dyes and, you know, the environment. Let's think about the environment.
Yes.
And the children. And on that note, people, enjoy training camp. We will have more this weekend. 929 The Game will be outside. You'll see Sam and Greg Saturday morning. You will see Mike Johnson and Dylon Dylan Matthews on Sunday morning. You will see Dukes and Bell at the Taj Mahooters this week. We are outside. The Falcons are outside. It is football season. Come check us out. It's been an intersection. See you guys next week.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.